Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So the title of my message today is, look at this, is how to defend your faith in a world that's gone crazy. How do we defend our faith? Our faith is under attack like never before. I've been a Christian for a long time, and yeah, our faith has been under attack. Nothing like it is now, and nothing like it will be in the future. It's only going to be a greater attack for your stand and your faith and your walk with God. So if I'm a pastor who really loves you, and I do, then I want to equip you. I want to show you how we can defend our faith in a world that's gone crazy. Does that sound interesting to everybody? I think it's very relevant to where we live and where we're at right now. So let's get right into it. If you got your Bible and your notepad, let's go to Isaiah. Guys, can you put it up on the screen, please? Isaiah 5:20. Now, it's amazing how relevant the Bible is. It's not outdated, my brother and sister. It's a holy book. Holy means separate from any other book that's ever been written. And so look what the Bible says in Isaiah, Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Well, that's where we're at right now, right? It is, people are saying that what used to be good and right is now evil and wrong. And what used to be evil and wrong when we were growing up, or you're growing up now, is now okay and good. So it's like right like where our culture is right now. Cancel culture, rage culture, where we're all at right now in the United States of America. But the Bible says, woe, beware, listen up to those who call evil good. It's okay now. Used to be wrong, but not wrong now. And those who call good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who make bitter for sweet. It used to be sweet, but now it's bitter. It used to be bitter, and now it's sweet. It used to be dark, but now it's light. It used to be light, no, but now it's dark. Wow, next verse, guys. Contemporary English version, same verse. Look what this says on the screens, everybody. Everybody at home, our host, what's this? You're headed for trouble. Our nation is headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. You say wrong is right, and darkness is light, and bitter is sweet. I don't get it, Pastor. I'm new to all this. Well, growing up, it used to be things that were wrong that we all grew up with. Now our culture says it's okay, it's right. And things that used to be right that we built our life on, our culture now, cancel culture, is now saying it's wrong. The Bible says when you have that mentality, you're headed for trouble. You say wrong is right, and darkness is light, and bitter is sweet. Next verse, Isaiah 8. Will this amplify? Let's go on to Isaiah 8, guys. Isaiah 8, verse 12. Look at this now, my brother and sister, my new friend. Look at this. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah, Old Testament, chapter 8, verse 12. We're hearing a lot of conspiracy theories, aren't we? And all they're doing is creating fear and dread. All they're doing is creating fear and dread, anxiety and worry. On social media, on the news, all we're hearing is about conspiracies and this, that, and the other. Look what the Bible says. The Bible talks about conspiracies. Do not call conspiracy or hard or holy all that these people will call a conspiracy. Neither be afraid of what they're afraid of. Wow. You and I are not to be afraid of what the world is afraid of. You and I are not to buy into the fear that the media and social media is breeding right now. And all their theories and all their conspiracies and all their advice and input information. The Bible says don't listen to that. It says because you don't have to be afraid of what they're afraid of. And look at this. Or make others afraid and in dread. Just listening to social media right now, it makes you afraid and dread. your future. And the Bible says, don't do that. Next verse, verse 13, Isaiah 8. The Lord of hosts, regard him. So you and I shouldn't be regarding the news or social media, putting our stock, putting our future or present in what they're saying. We should shift our focus, and we should be focusing on the Lord of hosts. You and I should be focusing every day on our God. And there's no God like our God. And he's the most high God. Amen, everybody? And when you shift from the media and social media to looking every day, spending time, focusing on, meditating on how good, great, and big your God is, then you won't be afraid of what the world is afraid of right now, and you won't dread tomorrow. So the Lord of hosts, you should regard him more than the news as holy. Honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. Boy, I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him in my hands. And we used to sing that over there. We're too sophisticated over here, but over there in that building, we used to sing that. Feel him all over me. Yeah, y'all remember that? Some of you old spiritual, praise the Lord. Look at this. Make the Lord of hosts your source, the center, the core of your life. Regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We're doing everything that the law is telling us to do during COVID and more. We were one of the first churches in St. Charles County to go online back in March, soon to be a year. We're doing everything the county's telling us to do for guidelines and for safety, and that's why more of you should be coming back, because we're doing everything. I got to put that in there. We're doing everything we should be, okay? I went to a restaurant yesterday over in St. Charles, packed. No social distancing, nothing. We were sitting, there was standing room only in the restaurant. I say it's time to get back. Like the Beatles said, get back, get back. Get back to where you once. Ooh, some of you know that song, you heathens. Okay, so the Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. Now, we're hearing about the vaccine, okay? I'm not down on the vaccine. I'm not again, you know, I'm not either way. I'm neutral. But let me tell you something. You shouldn't put that as your source of safety. Because we're hearing already of people who have taken it and died. Our source of safety should be God Almighty, El Shaddai. The God is more than enough. Yes, do everything in the natural, but that is not my source, nor do I put my confidence in the arm of the flesh. So the Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety, and let him be your fear. Ooh, I like that. And let him be your dread, lest you offend him by putting man over him, by being a man pleaser before a God pleaser. Offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. I say, if I'm going to distrust anybody, it's going to be man, not God. If I'm going to fear anybody, it's not going to be man, it's going to be God. And when we do, we're in a safe place. We're in a safe place. Amen, somebody. So this is what the Bible says, very relevant to where we are, 2021, February, soon to be a one-year anniversary of COVID in the USA. This is a right now word for us. So what I want to do today as your pastor is I want to help you to know how to defend your faith in times like this in a world that's gone wacky, crazy. All right, y'all ready? Seven ways. Okay, let's get to it. Guys, on the screen, number one, be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Every day should be a preparation day. Don't ever get impatient over the process. Don't ever get impatient over the process. Enjoy the process. When you enjoy the process, you'll benefit more from the process. Case in point, if you hate going to the gym versus if you see what the gym can do for you, you'll get more out of the gym. That went over not too good. Don't forget the donuts. That's complimentary. Make your own. Hallelujah. All right, scripture for that. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy. And that's what y'all are doing today. Acknowledge him as Lord. Jesus is Lord over my family. How about you? Jesus is Lord over my health. How about yours? Jesus is Lord over my finances. How about yours? Amen. Set him in your hearts apart. Acknowledge him as Lord. Always, everybody say always, be ready. Always be ready. Always be ready, could I say prepared? Always be ready to give a logical defense defending our faith in a world that's gone crazy. Give a logical defense to anybody who asks you for the account for the hope that is in you. Oh, I like that. Last couple weeks, do y'all remember? I gave you this one-liner. I said those who give the most hope have the most influence. And what are we supposed to be doing right now? Not giving people a sermon. We're supposed to be giving them hope. That you account for the hope, so they should look at us and see hope in our eyes. C.S. Lewis said, you're never too old to dream one more dream and have one more goal. People should see hope on our countenance. What a great witness. A logical defense to anybody who asks you, why are you hopeful? But watch this now. But do it by yelling and screaming and preaching. No, do it with courtesy and do it with respect. You know, here's what you and I both know, that if you don't respect someone, you can't receive from that someone. I'm going to come on over here. If you and I, we don't receive from those we don't respect. But those who we respect, we receive from. So if we want them to receive the logical answer that we have for why we have hope in a hopeless world, we're going to have to treat them with dignity, honor, and respect. Not judging them or condemning them or holier-than-thou attitude. Praise the Lord. If you didn't like that one, let's try number two. Let's go to number two. You put it there, guys? How do I defend my faith in a world gone crazy? Study the Word. Word being the Bible, the Scripture. Study the Word. Now, study doesn't mean read. Study is more than read. Study means to give time to ponder, to meditate upon, to do cross-reference with other books, and you're studying, you're spending time, you're investing in your spiritual walk, your spiritual growth. Study the Word. See, if I don't know what I'm standing for, how will I be able ever be able to stand for it? Right? If I don't know what I'm standing for, how in the world can I stand for it when I'm persecuted, put down, made fun of, looked down upon for being a Christian and putting my faith in God? I need to know why I believe. I need to know what I believe. Right, everybody? You know, three questions we all ask, every human being asks, is why am I here? Number two, who am I? And number three, where will I go when I die? You'll find answers to all of that in the Word. So if everybody's asking that question and you get into the Bible, I get into the Bible and I study it, then I got answers to their questions. Look at the verse for this. It's 2 Timothy. It's chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study. Notice it's not an option, it's a commandment. How am I going to defend my faith? I've got to study. I got to be skilled in the Word. I got to be skilled in the Word. I got to be skilled in the Word. I don't need a degree, but I got to be skilled in the Word. I got to know enough to know what I believe, why I believe it, and what I'm standing for. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or workwoman that needeth not to be ashamed, and so you can rightly divide the word of truth. So number one, I forgot, is be prepared. Number two is study. And number three, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. How to defend our faith? Times are hard and they're going to get harder. The world is crazy. It's going to get crazier. The world is lawless and they're waiting for the lawless one. You know who the lawless one is, don't you? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the lawless one. So more laws will be broken the closer that we get to the end of the age. More good will become wrong. What was wrong will become good as we get toward the end of the age. You and I need discernment to be able to tell the difference and not be deceived. You and I need wisdom to know who to share with and who not to share with and how to share with them. So ask for wisdom is Colossians chapter 4. And it says, the first verse, verse 1, talks about walking with wisdom to those without. Those without wisdom would be a sinner. Those that with wisdom would be a saint or a Christian. Then he says, continue in prayer. Watch with the same with thanksgiving. Next verse. With your praying for us that God would open a door of utterance. Now, note with me, if you're a note taker, two words, utterance and door. Our utterance has to meet the need of that open door. In other words, we don't want to scratch somebody where they're not itching. We don't want to give them something they're not ready to receive. Are you with me? There's an old principle. When the student is ready, the teacher arrives. So notice that we're praying, God, give us wisdom today. Open doors for me to share the gospel. Open doors, but God, then give me wisdom to know what to say. Season it with salt and give me utterance. Utterance means anointed words there. Because if what you say is anointed, it will break the yoke off of the person you're talking to and set them free. A door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that which also I am in prison or in bonds. Next verse. That I may make it manifest or clear or simple. Less is more, less is more, less is more. Profound, if you want to be profound, make it as simple as you possibly can. Great communicators communicate on a fourth grade level. Our teachers here, our educators will let you know that for sure. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So number one, how to defend our faith in a world gone crazy. We want to be prepared. Number two, we want to study so we know what we're standing for. Number three, we want to, ask for wisdom. Number four, show kindness. Whoa, kindness, Pastor. We're in the cancel culture. We're in the rage culture. People are crazy. They're mean. They're agitated. They're mad. They're stressed out. They're missing it. They're making more mistakes than ever before because they're so frustrated. And we're to show kindness? Yeah. Is it easy? No. But is it a commandment? Yes. In the Bible, there's actually a ministry called the Ministry of Kindness. It's called the Ministry of Kindness. And right now, I believe if you and I can be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, see, I've got to be full of the Word and full of the Spirit before I can be full of kindness. If I'm not kind, then I'm not full of the Word and full of the Spirit, right? So if I'm full of the Word and I'm full of the Spirit, I'll be full of kindness, and kindness will set us apart, my brother and sister. Look at the verse for kindness, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not cause strife. Whew. So if I cause strife on social media, it's wrong. That's just dead wrong as a Christian. And the servant of the Lord, that means a Christian, must not strive or cause strife, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Next verse, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. How are we to instruct them? In meekness and kindness, humility. We're not to come on too strong. We're not to come on the holier than thou. We are to come on like we show we really care. We really care because we're aware. We care because whatever that is. We care so we're aware. I got it. Praise God. All right, the next one, please. The next principle, number 5 of 7, is I need to start memorizing Scripture. Start memorizing Scripture. Kim and I's spiritual mother, Marilyn Hickey. Y'all know Marilyn, right? She's our spiritual mother. Marilyn is 88 years young. And you know where Maryland's going this month? Saudi Arabia. To hold meetings. Do you know that it's in the history books? She had the largest outdoor meeting in history in Pakistan. She had 1 million people outside, documented. She is going at 88 during COVID. She's getting on a plane, traveling across the ocean. She's going to Saudi Arabia, and she's holding meetings. Then she's leaving from there to go to Pakistan. She told Kim and I years ago, she's been coming here for 3 decades. She told Kim and I, do you know where I get my strength from? Where? She said, memorizing scriptures. She goes, you know where I keep my mind sharp? Instead of crossword puzzles, I'm memorizing scriptures. That's what she said. I believe it to be true, don't you? Start memorizing scriptures. Why do I need to memorize it, Pastor? Well, let me show you. If we're going to defend our faith in the world gone crazy, John 14:26. But the Comforter, who's that? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance is the key. Remembrance, if it's not in your memory, how can the Holy Spirit work and bring it to your remembrance? Okay, I'm coming all over here with Brandon and Mama over here. I'm coming over here. My amen corner. Y'all see this here? You know, I remember going to college way back when Moses crossed the Red Sea. I was in college. And I remember, you know, we'd be having a test. And some of the guys say, oh, God, please help me on this test. Please help me on this test. God, I need you to help me on this test. Did you study? No, I didn't have time to study. But God, help me on this test. Guess what? God can't answer that prayer. Because he can't bring anything to the remembrance they haven't studied or memorized or know. Okay, you didn't like that one. Let's try the next one. Okay, go to the next point, guys. Number 6, as the team comes out for our worship moment, be authentic and be real. If you don't have the answer, tell them, I will find it out. Be authentic and real. If you don't have the answer, tell them, I will find out. People know when we're making up stuff, don't they? Come on, people are smart. They know when we don't know the answer and we're trying to, you know, fake it till we make it. And you know what? That only hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit. So look what I have down there, the one-liner. Example is more important than an explanation. Wow. You know, trying to come up with how to explain that when I don't know the answer, I'm creating confusion. Whereas if I'm just authentic, honest, and with integrity say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll try to find it for you, and I'll get back with you. That gives you favor with that person. Number 7, 7 ways on how to defend your faith in a world gone crazy. Don't argue. Don't argue. You know, I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I've never led anybody to Christ through an argument. I've never led anybody to Christ through an argument. Don't argue with people about your faith. The scripture for that is Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them. Foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them. Knowing that all they do is create strife. All they do is create strife. Another scripture, Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish questions and contention and strife about the law, for they are unprofitable and it only ends up empty without fruit or results. I remember back in 1988, a book came out called 88 Reasons Jesus is going to Come Back in 1988. Well, how many of you know that book never worked out? Because we're still here. Can I have a witness in the house? Can I have a witness at home on the mobile group watch party? We're still here, so that didn't happen, right? But during that time, everybody was into that year, 1988, 88 reasons Jesus is going to come back. And every Tom, Dick, and Larry in the county, because at that time we had a daily TV program every day, and we were the number one Christian TV program in St. Louis. We beat Joyce. We beat everybody else. We were the number one watched in 1988 on daily television, Principles for Life. We were on WCBW when they had preachers. So we were very visible everywhere we went. So every time Dick and Larry in the St. Louis area wanted to debate me, they wanted to debate over pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. In other words, do you believe we're going to go through the tribulation, or we're going to go in the rapture for the tribulation, or we're going to go all the way through on the other side? What do you believe? And you know what? I never would debate with any of them because I'm not an apologetic person, you know, knowing apologetics that well. I know my lane. I'm going to stay in it. And so I wouldn't debate with them. I wouldn't argue with them, but I did tell them all this. I said, you know, I'm not pre-trib. Uh-huh. Whoa, we got him now. I'm not post-trib. Really? No, I'm not mid-trib. Well, what are you, Pastor? I'm pan-trib. However it pans out, I'm going to be okay. However it pans out, I'm going to be okay. It's so important you don't get off in a ditch. You don't get away from the truth, trying to argue with people. And all that does is cause strife, contention, and hurts the kingdom. Did I help anybody today? 7 ways on how we can defend our faith in a crazy world.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.